found that many times people have already have got a prescribed way for me to do things. And whenever I get out of that little rut that they put me in their own mind, I do something to offend them. So we have to be very careful about that. We cannot have preconceived opinions and notions about other people, because everybody's lives are different. It's hard to do things without being criticized. You're either criticized for what you do or for what you don't do. So you just have to do what you believe is right in your heart and pray that the Lord will lead you and guide you in the right way, and that you'll say things that will be comforting to the hearts of God's people. I'm reminded of a scripture back in the Old Testament, in the prophet Habakkuk. I don't know if I pronounced that right or not, but some of these names are kind of hard. The first chapter, the fifth verse says, "Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelous, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you." You know, it has a human nature has a tendency to believe a lot of things that are strange. You know, I think somehow people want to believe in the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny more than they want to believe in the truth of God's Word. And I'm amazed by these things sometimes. But this is what happens. You know, we have to be very careful. I believe what this brother said this morning regarding the sovereignty of God. I know that each and every one of you here, I'm pretty sure I can say this without reservation, that you believe in the sovereignty of God and that you love this particular truth of God's Word. And if you're like me, you believe, you love that, and you believe it because you know your own self. You know, as the Bible tells us, that within us there's no good thing. We've come to that knowledge and understanding about ourselves, realize that we're weak and we're frail, that we're subject to vanity, and that we can be very easily led astray. I know I can. I read something the other day I thought was kind of cute. It said, "Don't lead me into temptation because I can find a lot of it by myself." You know, it just comes along, and the Satan is there, and he's going to try everything in the world that he can possibly do, and he's a very strong angel. And he can deceive us into believing a lie, believe it or not. If you think you're not susceptible to him, then you better be careful, because he can certainly do a lot of things, do a lot of damage among God's people. And some of this, I think, is based upon what people think and what they've been told and what they've learned over the years. You know, people today are conditioned based upon what they've already been taught. And they respond to things based upon what they've been taught. There's a lot of negative thinking in the world today. What I want to talk about this morning is the positiveness of God and the things of God, because we believe in His sovereignty. We know that He's absolute in the things that He does. He's already got a covenant of grace that's already established and sure. And I love that, because I know it's going to wind up just exactly the way God has already determined that it's going to wind up, because He's declared that that's the way it's going to be. And it's for His glory and His honor and for our good, because of His love and mercy and grace that He had for us, the Bible tells us, before the world began. I'm not up here expressing my opinions. I'm here talking to you and expressing to you the Word of God. And we should be thankful every day of our lives that we've got God's Word here, that we can rejoice in it, that we can revel in it and hear the Word of God and feed upon these wonderful words, because that is our bread, whether you think so or not. You know, the more that I study the Word of God and the more I get into it, the more I realize how important it is for us as children of God. And the emphasis on particular scriptures comes to mind, and the significance of what they mean. Particularly, when Jesus Christ was here and He was tempted of Satan after being in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and the Bible says, and afterward He was unhungered. In other words, he became very hungry because he had no food or water for 40 days. Now, you and I can't possibly do that without the grace of God. Now, you notice I added without the grace of God. Because we can do it by God's grace. We can do anything by God's grace. I believe that. Because I know that men have gone 40 days without food or water. That's biblical. By the grace of God. And the Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. But after that, he was unhungered, and Satan came and tempted him and said, you know, he knew he was hungry. And he tempted him to use his power to satisfy his own fleshly desire. Now, I say fleshly because he was a man, and he had hunger just like you and I. He had the weakness of the flesh in that he hungered. He hungered for food. He needed food just like you and I. And so he says, command that these stones be made bread. You're hungry. Jesus Christ said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He said, for it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There's our spiritual bread that you and I need every day. And have you ever thought, perhaps for just a moment, what you would do if you did not have the Word of God? How your life would be if you did not have the Word of God in it? If you weren't able to read this book whenever you wanted to and weren't able to come here and hear messages of grace and comfort and instruction for you as children of God, what our lives would be. You know, I shudder to think. Because I believe that it's because of righteous men and women in this nation that we are still as a nation today. And that's why we, like this brother, need to get on our knees and pray every day that God will continue to pour out His grace and mercy on us. Because I sort of feel sometimes that we can no longer be called what is considered to be a Christian nation. We have to realize that we have minds that are a lot like computers. And the similarity is what goes in comes out. You know, you call up somebody on the phone and something happens to your bank account and somebody says, well, the computer made an error. Well, wasn't the computer that made an error. The error was put in there and it only spit out what was put in there. You've heard of the old terminology, garbage in, garbage out. Well, I guarantee you that anybody, I don't care who they are, especially young people today, that are so impressionable, and many people are so gullible. Believe it or not, we've just got a nation of gullible people here. That's why they're taken advantage of all the time. You know? But you keep bombarding these people with things, and pretty soon that's what's going to come out of their minds, and that's exactly what happens. And whenever you look at your television set today and you see what is on there, I'm sure that you, like me, are just despair at what it's come to. And it's just amazing to me. So we have to be careful what we do and what we think. We have to be careful, and we have to have some good influence in our lives that's going to sink down into our hearts and be forever embedded in our minds. You know, I saw on television one time there was a woman who had a particular infirmity, and she shook and she couldn't stop shaking. And there was something wrong, some chemical imbalance in her brain that caused this. And so these physicians whom God had given wisdom and knowledge about these matters, they went into her brain and they took probes. And they stuck probes down into her brain. And every time that they would probe a different part of her brain, suddenly things would happen in her mind. She would hear music. She would see things back in her childhood. It was all in her mind. And that leads me to believe, and I've come to the conclusion, and I think most doctors agree with this, that our minds store things. And they're there. Because a lot of times you'll remember things way back in your childhood. You ever heard someone say that my life just flashed in front of my eyes my entire life? Someone who just sort of on the verge of death and all of a sudden their whole life just flashed before them? It's there. It's just that we can't bring it to mind all the time when we want to. And so whatever you come in contact, whatever influence you have from day to day, it's recorded in your mind somehow. That to me shows the marvelousness of about the human being. What a marvelous miracle we are. You know, to come from two little cells, and then eventually through the process of development, we become a human being. Whenever I studied in college with biology, the biology teacher told me, she says, it's an absolute miracle that we come out whole. She said, there's so many things that could go wrong during that process that it's amazing, it's an absolute miracle that we come out without any problems or imperfections. So we've got to be thankful for that. And so with that sort of a preamble, so to speak, I wanted you to get to thinking, because I think the Bible tells us a lot about that. We need to think. You know, over the years, I've tried to discuss the doctrines of grace with people that I've known from time to time. I've had many friends, especially when I was in college. I was considered the black sheep of college, simply because I believed something that none of the rest of them did, and so it caused some difficulties. But as I began to learn more about the doctrines of grace, and especially how to explain them, we had a lot of discussions. I tried to get them to think. It's one of the reasons I wrote that little book. I wanted to put some information in there. Perhaps it would come into someone's hands that didn't believe the way we did. Make them think about these things. Because it's important what we think. It really is. It's very important what we think. Because what we think guides our lives, believe it or not. You know? You look out in the world and people are doing things that they do simply because of what they think about other things. Because of the influences that are coming into their lives. You know, you go to a person today and someone that's on dope, taking cocaine and all kinds of things, putting them into their bodies. You can talk until you're blue in the face and it won't change them. It won't change them. Just like a little child. A little child sometimes becomes rebellious. They've already decided in their minds. You know, and they become so what you would call hard-headed. You parents out there, you ever dealt with a hard-headed child? It's already decided how things are. A parent doesn't know anything. You know, and you try to teach a child something, they won't listen to you. They won't believe what you have to say. They won't change it unless they've had some type of influence come along to change their way of thinking. And it's got to be felt by them. That's why I believe when a child of God is dealt with by the Spirit of God, that person is going to become a changed individual. And you can see that. I just happened to see a situation on television where a man who was caught up in this culture, the drug culture, he was robbing to get money to pay for this habit. And then he says he felt, for some reason, that he had to get out of that way of life. It wasn't any good. It was wrong. And he himself sought help with great determination that he was going to lick this problem and overcome this great obstacle. And I believe sincerely that there had to be some type of influence on that man to make him want to change. And I believe that influence was God. Because that influence was good. And this is the way God works on His people. When He works with them, He works within them. And we see the evidence of that all the time. But it's very careful. Right, He works on the heart. But we have to be very careful what we think and what we do. And so the Bible not only tells us about the sovereignty of God, His greatness, the love of God, which neither you or I can comprehend. I mean, we know a little bit about it. We think we understand what the love of God means, but we'll never know the fullness of it until we come there and see Him in all His glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have various opinions. So I want to go to the fourth chapter of Philippians and use these verses basically as the foundation of what I want to speak to you today. Because not only do we know the things that I just mentioned, and they're good for us to know, because I believe they bring great comfort and peace to our souls. Because we are going to have a lot of hardships in this world. We're going to come in contact with difficulties, heartaches, tribulations, trials, temptations. You know, right now, while these young men and women are over there overseas, they're on the verge of a terrible conflict. And many of them will die as a result of that if it happens. We need to pray diligently that God will somehow change that man's heart and veer him from his purpose. Because he's bound and determined, and I believe he thinks somehow that he is a messenger of God, that he's going to punish the United States of America. You know, he's got this warped opinion that we're satanic. Strange how people think. But he has got that warped opinion. And as a result of that, there's going to be moaning and groaning, tears and sorrow. Because many young men and young women will die. Not only Americans, but others as well. Because of the pride and stubbornness of one individual who has a tremendous ego. So, let's pray that the Lord will be merciful to us. Not that we deserve it, but that He will, in spite of our sins and shortcomings. In the fourth chapter of Philippians, the fourth verse, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say, rejoice. "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Now, he's got some instruction here for us. Now, he not only tells us about God and what He's done for us and His sovereignty and His grace, but He's also got some instruction, and we need instruction because we're little children. You know, doesn't matter how old you get, you're somebody's child. Isn't that? You ever think about that? Brother Compton here told me this morning he's 86 years old. Well, I'm sure your father's not living, Brother Compton, but you're still his child. You know, I'm my mother's child, and sometimes she treats me like a child. She thinks I can't make up my own mind. You know, she's got to tell me how to do things. I just listen to her. Yes, Mother. Yes, Mother. I know she loves me, but we're somebody's child. And most of all, we're God's child. You know, that's wonderful. We're God's children. And we need to be instructed. We don't know everything there is to know about God's Word. And we're subject to frailty. We're subject to fall. But we need the Word that's going to hold us up. And so we need God. We need instruction. And so if I instruct you this morning in a manner that I feel is good for you, I hope that you'll enjoy that instruction, that you'll take it to heart. Let your moderation be known. We're not children of God that we can go out and do anything that we want to. You know, a lot of people look at us and say, "You mean you believe in once saved, always saved?" I said, "You better believe it." "Well, that means you can go out and do anything you want to and still go to heaven." I said, "Yeah, you're absolutely right." I said, "But my want to has changed. I don't want to do the things I used to do, but I want to do the things that God wants me to do, I hope." And I hope that's what I find myself doing. And so, that's the difference. We can do anything we want to. Even if I should fall under the condemnation of sin and somehow be led astray, and I believe I am susceptible to that, I want you to understand that. I hope we never get to a point where we think we're safe. Because, brother, that's where Satan just wants you to be. Make you think you're safe. So I need your prayers. And I want you to pray for me. And so we need to be moderate about the things that we do. You know, Paul himself knew his own weaknesses. He says, "Oh, miserable." He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." He says he has to keep his body and bring it into subjection himself. The great apostle Paul. And so we have to be very careful. "Let our moderation be known unto all men." This is the way of life that we are to have as children of God, so that when others look at us and the way we live, they can only say good things about us. I know that probably won't ever happen in this world, but hopefully they will be able to do that. Hopefully, when you see the lives of your brothers and sisters here, you'll say good things about them. You won't criticize them. You won't put them down. You won't hold grudges. You know, it's so easy to do that, hold a grudge. And so when we go out into the world, we should be moderate about everything. He said, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, everything that we do, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. With prayer and supplication. That's probably one of the most important aspects of our life that we need to be attentive to. That's prayer. Every day of our lives, we shouldn't leave our houses in the morning without asking God. Doesn't matter whether you get out on your knees or not, or you just say it on the tip of your tongue as you leave. Say, Lord, lead me today by Thy Spirit, that I may be of benefit not only to you but to someone else as well in this life, that I might be able to do something that will help someone today in some small way. That little simple prayer, I believe, is sufficient because it's from the heart. See, God is not impressed whether you get on your knees and say a long prayer or if you just say a little simple prayer, because it's of the heart. That's what God looks at. He looks at the heart. And so with our prayers and supplications, and we need to be very suppliant today with God, because there's so many things we need. We're so prone to error. He says, and the peace of God, this is the result of this prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Do everything with thanksgiving. He said, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And brother, isn't that something that we all seek after? For our hearts and minds to be kept by the Lord Jesus Christ and have that peace. You know, Jesus Christ, when He came into this world, there's some things that we should think about, and I'm trying to get to the end of this, but there's some things that we are not to think about, believe it or not. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, He says, think not that I came to bring peace. Think not. Don't think that. A lot of people think that. The Jews thought when the Messiah came there was going to be peace everywhere. See? Oh yeah, they still do. But He didn't come to bring peace. He said, the foes shall be they of their own household sometimes. Because we're called upon to make commitments to Him, and we have to do that and not shy away from those commitments. So, on another occasion, He says, think not that I came to destroy the law. He said, but I came to fulfill it. They thought He was changing things and doing away with the law. He wasn't doing that. He was fulfilling it. So that you and I are not responsible for that. Isn't that wonderful? You know, it's awful easy for us to get guilty conscience all the time. You know, a lot of times I walk around with a guilty conscience. Oh, I just know I'm not doing everything I ought to do. I should be doing other things that I'm not doing. And sometimes I just walk around with a terrible guilty conscience. And then the Lord just wakes me up out of that terrible, negative, downcast attitude, and I say, thank you, Lord, for doing all these things for me. By Thy grace and mercy, just give me the strength to go from day to day and show me the way that You'd have me go. And let me think about good things from day to day. And that's where the peace comes from. The peace and contentment in your soul when you know that the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished all of these things. He kept the law to a jot and to a tittle. I mean perfect. Absolute perfection. And that perfection is imputed to us in the sight of God. And therefore we shall one of these days stand before Him without spot and without blemish. Before Him in love. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful for me. I don't know how you think about it. I'm sure you agree. It's wonderful. It brings great peace in spite of all the turmoil. You know, there's a scripture over in the Old Testament. I don't know if I can quote it right, but it says, what if the foundations of the world cease? This brother could probably quote it better than I do. No, he doesn't. He says, what if the foundations of the earth be destroyed? What shall the righteous do? That's a question. And then, you know, the answer comes out, says, the Lord is in His temple. The Lord is in His temple. And He upholdeth things by the word of His power. There's nothing going to happen that God doesn't allow to happen or cause to happen. And whatever He causes to happen is for our good. All things are for our good because God has determined that to be true. Jesus Christ came into this world to do the will of His Father, and that will was that you and I would live with Him in glory one of these days. That's glorious. And I'm glad, you know, it's really strange sometimes you talk to people that about these things and, you know, they say, well, you've got to do something. It's based upon your faith, your acceptance. And I say, no, it's based upon what God has done. You know, they don't have problems whenever it's in their hands. But then when you say it's in the hands of God, they have a problem with that. You know, they're worried. I'm not worried because I know He's able to fulfill all things because God has given Him all power. The people of God back in those days had the wonderful privilege of gazing upon Him with their eyes and seeing the marvelous works that He did. And the Bible says, and they glorified God because of the power that He had given to men. That power to heal the sick and to raise the dead and to cause the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. What great power He had. And this power He even imparted to His apostles on occasion, that they could do the same thing. And on certain occasions they couldn't because their faith was lacking. Oh, ye of little faith, how long shall I have to endure you, He says. And then with just a little effort, He would calm the seas. What a wonderful thing. On one occasion, whenever He told a man that his sins were forgiven, the Pharisees were standing around. He says, why think ye evil in your hearts? What is easier, to say that thy sins be forgiven thee, or to take up thy bed and walk? But to show that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, He says, arise, take up thy bed and walk. And the man did so. This magnified His power, magnified Him because of His power. And this is the evidence that we have as children of God that He is who He says He is because He was able to do all of these things. This is wonderful. When you think about these things, doesn't your heart become calm? Don't you have great assurance in your mind when you think about Jesus and what He's done for you? We ought to have a song written. I don't know if I could do that, but maybe somebody could think about these things. Think about Jesus Christ. Think about His grace and His mercy. It says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, I'm reminded of Mary and Martha. When Jesus came to the house there, and He was in the house, and Martha was cumbered and going about doing things, and I believe it was Martha. I hope I haven't got them confused. Because it was Mary and Martha. And she was worried because her sister wouldn't come and help her. And she said, Martha, you're troubled about many things. But your sister's chosen that which is good. And she chose to sit there and listen to the words of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful that we choose to do that? We choose the good and forsake the evil. And so with all of this knowledge, with all of this understanding that God has given to us, and a lot of it comes through preaching, God is just not going to put this in your heart, although I believe that in essence He puts the foundation of truth in your heart. And then it's God's ministers who bring this out, makes it easier to understand, so to speak. I believe that that's the purpose of ministers, is to preach the truth of God's grace to help God's children in this world. When you have this information and you mull it over in your mind and your heart, you have to make a decision. And that's where repentance comes in. And that's one of the other purposes of the Word of God, is to cause us and bring us to repentance so that we repent of our evil ways. He says, finally, brethren, here's the instruction that we need. Whatsoever things are true, and we hope we have the truth this morning. I believe we do. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, we must have absolute honesty. We must treat other people honestly, without favoritism. You know, Paul says, do all things without partiality. And brother, that's difficult to do. It is difficult to do because somebody's going to dress differently in a way that you don't approve. See, you've already decided. I know I have this difficulty. I've already decided how everybody ought to be dressed. And when I see someone that's dressed differently, I have a tendency to look askance. And I agree, there are some ways you don't want to dress. Some people think that you don't even have to dress. Well, I have to disagree with them on that. And I'm amazed at some of the things that these young ladies are wearing today. I feel like telling them, you need to go home and get some clothes on, young lady. I was at Hershey Park one time, and you know, the thing that really bothers me the most is to see a young lady who's in her teens smoking a cigarette. I just can't stand that because, you know, it's to me, it's ignorance for someone to do that. Our bodies weren't made to take foreign substances into it. Your body just don't stand up very well. I know a fellow up in Harrisburg, he's a funeral director, he owns his own funeral home, and he's had to do autopsies. And he used to smoke a pipe. He said, I won't have anything to do with those cigarettes. But he figured, well, a pipe can't hurt me. And he began to do autopsies on these people and see their lungs. You know what happened? He threw his pipe away because he saw what he was doing to himself. And so that's just a word for each of you. I'm sure you'll agree with me. It's just something we should not do. It's not good for us. So let me see if I got back to my train of thought here. So whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. It's hard for us to be just sometimes. Oh, I just got back to my thought here. When I was telling about this young girl, I was at Hershey Park and she was smoking a cigarette with some of her friends. And I just couldn't restrain myself. When I walked past, I said, young lady, you know you shouldn't be doing that. Well, you know, you just don't tell other people what to do, especially if you're a stranger, because her answer to me was, says, well, if that's so, you can just get lost. See? So that was probably not the right instruction at that particular time, but it's just very difficult for me to go by without saying something. I wish I could get her alone or, you know, and just try to give her some instruction to help her, but you know, sometimes young people have their minds made up, they're going to do something regardless. You know, the easiest way to get a young teenager to do something is tell them they can't do it. And brother, that'll make them do it faster than anything. It's a challenge, you're right. So here are things that we are really to concern ourselves with and think about more than anything, because these are the good things. If we put this in our minds, if we let this come into our lives, what comes in is going to go out. I guarantee you. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. You know, I think of all the things that we know here in the kingdom of heaven. I'm so happy to be here this morning. I rejoice and look forward to the times that I can come here and be with you and share the good things of God and the loveliness of God and rejoice in these matters. And to me, that's lovely. And we're to seek after these things. It's very easy for me to look out the window and say, well, it's foggy this morning. I think I'll stay home and not try to get out on the roads. But I told Brother Steve last night, Lord willing, I'll be there. And so I came in spite of that, and the fog lifted just as I got down to the Beltway this morning. So whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, if you hear something about a brother or a sister, you know, I think perhaps the first inclination for us to think is, well, it must be true, or they wouldn't be saying this. In actuality, the way we ought to think is, well, that may be so, but I want to find out for myself before I make an opinion. See, there's always two sides to a story. I don't care what it is, there's always two sides to a story. There's a right side and there's a wrong side. And sometimes people want to emphasize the wrong sometimes. And so I'll guarantee you, I have tried as hard as I can try never to form an opinion about somebody based upon what somebody else has said. Because a lot of times it's the wrong opinion. And you have to be very careful about that. You know, doing things without partiality, as the Apostle Paul says, is difficult sometimes. And you just have to strive to do that. In spite of what someone looks like, in spite of what they do. You know, I know many people who smoke cigarettes. Many of my brothers and sisters in Christ smoke cigarettes. I'm not going to let that come between me and them. I'm going to love them anyway. I know that they have a weakness there. I know if I was smoking, it would be because of my weakness. I thank the Lord that He just never... He allowed me, or perhaps held me back from it. I know when I was a little kid, I tried a cigarette or two. And one time I took a great big deep puff off of one of them things, and I picked myself up off the floor. I mean, it knocked me out. I said, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. And I'm glad I don't like them. But if a brother and sister smokes, it doesn't bother me. I'm going to love them anyway. And I hope you feel the same way. Because we are to love one another in spite of our faults and frailties. And when you do that, whenever you lift up a brother and sister, instead of find something about them that's not good or it's wrong, and you emphasize that, you know, it's going to cause your opinion about them to become very negative, and pretty soon you're going to put them away from you. So, you know, that's how husbands and wives get along in this world. There's a lot of things, you know, they say that before you get married, everything's lovey-dovey. And when you get married, you find out about each other. And it changes, you know. And that's true. Because you're with each other all the time. It's very easy to see these little things that you feel are wrong. And sometimes husbands or wives become what they call nitpicky, you know. And that's not good for a marriage. The marriage that lasts is one that overlooks these things and continues to love that individual in spite of their faults. They accentuate the positive, the good things about that person. So that's very important. That goes for friends and acquaintances, and brothers and sisters in Christ as well. And so all of these things, he says, culminated together finally. He said, think on these things. Get your mind out of the gutter, so to speak. And our minds are in the gutter a lot. And a lot of the reason is because we're watching that tube. And I guarantee you we need to refrain on that to a great extent. It's very easy to fall into that. But I'm speaking to people today that are moderate about that. I doubt if we've got anybody that's hooked on that. And you can get hooked on television. You know, I told my secretary one time I was off sick for 2 days straight. I really had a bad case of the flu. And one of the worst things I hate to do is just lay in bed and do nothing. And I don't want to sleep during the day because then I can't sleep at night. So I've got to have something to keep me awake. Well, believe it or not, I turned on my television and I started watching those soaps. And I told my secretary, you know, it was hard for me to go back to work. I wanted to find out what was going to happen the next day. I mean, you get caught up in those things if you watch them long enough, and brother, you can't stop. Well, I'm glad I go to work and don't have to spend my time watching them things. So be careful. Be careful. We have to be moderate in everything that we do. So let's keep these things in mind. You know, Paul says on one occasion, and I think this is important for us to know, and we all know this verse of Scripture. It's found over in the 13th chapter of Corinthians. He says, when I was a child, he did three things. What did he do? When I was a child, I spake as a child, right? He taught the way a child talks. He says, I understood as a child. Because a little child can't understand the way you and I do. Their minds are young. They haven't got a lot of this knowledge and experience under their belt. And then the last one, what is it, brother?
Thought as a child.
Thought as a child, right? That's what we're thinking about this morning. What we think. Spake, understood, and thought as a child. But he said, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And that's what we need to do as adults, as mature Christians. Put away these childish ways and treat one another with love and without partiality. Think on good things. Accentuate the positive. Love one another in spite of our faults. Because I know I got a lot of them. You know, I saw something the other day that no one can be me. I can only be myself. No one can be me. And I've got a lot of experience in being me. And we have to think about that. Pray for one another. Let our conversation be as it is in heaven. Let all of our thoughts, as the Apostle Paul says, come under captivity. Bringing all of our thoughts into captivity to the Lord Jesus Christ, because our thoughts are evil by nature. And the Lord will bless you above measure. And I hope and pray, as we continue to think about these things, that the Lord will be with you, that will give you this desire, and that will satisfy that desire as we seek to serve Him. And one way that we can stay in this way is to keep in this book. Because that is our way of life. We refuse the way of the world. We've come out of the world into the Lord's church. And our lives should be different. We shouldn't bring the world in with us. We shouldn't act like the world in here, because this is a different place. Therefore, we seek those things which are above. We commit ourselves to those things which are above. And I guarantee you, things will be a lot different. Another thing that we're not to think is think not of ourselves more than we should. See? Because when you do, he says, then you're deceiving yourself. I think there's three types of deception. There's satanic deception, which is very strong. And then there's deception that someone else might bring to you in telling you a lie. And then there's self-deception. And of those three, self-deception is probably the worst. Because that's when you blind yourself to the truth. And I know this can happen many times. You know the old saying, people believe what they want to believe. It's true, many times. We have to be very careful what we think and what we do. You know, in my business, I tell people, I'm not here to make a decision for you, but I'm here to give you information that's going to help you make a more intelligent decision. Because, see, all the decisions that we make every day of our lives are based upon what we already know. And a lot of times the information we have is bad information. And we don't have enough information to be able to make a good decision about some things that we do. And as a result of that, sometimes we get ourselves into hot water. You know, and then we have to squirm to get out. And so let's look to God for wisdom and knowledge and understanding so that we can no longer think or act or understand as a child, but as a man and woman, mature in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, because that's the goal of the church, is to be mature. I believe that I'm in a mature church. Brother Compton and I were talking about it this morning because of the attitude of people here. And I thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for each one of you. I do covet your prayers and hope that perhaps what I've said this morning will be a benefit to each and every one of you as we go forth from this place. And may the God of peace be with each and every one of you. It's my prayer. Thank you very much, brother. Thank you.